A reading from Deuteronomy. When your children ask you in time to come, what is the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. Then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case. If we diligently observe this entire commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, we will be in the right. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening, everyone. Father Alex Martin, I'm the rector of St. Barnabas Church in Bay Village. It's great to be here with all of you tonight, and it's fun to look out and see a lot of familiar faces. Today, the church commemorates James Theodore Hawley, who was the first African-American bishop in the Episcopal Church. He was a missionary bishop to Haiti and founded the organization that would one day become the Union of Black Episcopalians. And so when I looked up the commemoration and saw who I was preaching on, the first thing that came to mind is that, man, I am massively unqualified to talk about Bishop Hawley, because no one looked at the church calendar. This is just the way the schedule worked out. No one looked at the calendar and said, do you know who would be really qualified to speak about the plight of African Americans in the 19th century? This skinny white boy from Bay Village. That's who. So that was not intentional. It's just, that's the way the schedule worked out. And so I want to begin, of course, by acknowledging my blind spots around some of this stuff. But something that I can speak really confidently about is the thoughtfulness with which today's scripture lessons were chosen to accompany the commemoration of Bishop Hawley. I love this text from Deuteronomy because the context here is that the Israelites have been led from bondage and slavery in Egypt, and they're out on their own for the first time and wondering, what do we do now? Moses gives the Ten Commandments, he gives the law, and they decide that with their newfound freedom, what they're called to do is to serve God. Bishop Hawley served in this country in a time immediately following the American Civil War, and then went off and served most of his career in Haiti during a time when it was in still pretty recent memory that the Haitians overthrew their colonial oppressors. And there are a lot of folks wondering at that time, what do we do now? And Bishop Hawley and many others came to that same conclusion that all we can do is serve God. And so that is what Bishop Hawley did at times to great detriment to himself. I also love today's reading from the Gospel according to John, where Jesus says, one sows and another reaps. You are sent out to harvest what others have labored for. And this is the main thing I want to focus on today. We are sent out to reap that for which others have labored, which is to say that others have paved the way. Others have opened the doors for us. Bishop Hawley paved the way and opened doors for many others. Being the first is never easy. I love that he was the first African-American bishop to be invited to the Lambeth Conference in England, where he preached at Westminster Abbey while he was there, which of course brought to mind Bishop Curry, not so long ago, preaching at Westminster Abbey at the last royal wedding. And if you remember this, folks didn't know what to make of him. These stuffy Brits were a little scandalized. He took those people to church, and it was wonderful. But Bishop Curry is part of Bishop Hawley's legacy, part of his legacy. This year, we are commemorating the 50th anniversary of the ordination of women in the Episcopal Church. In 1974, the Philadelphia Eleven were extra-canonically ordained. These faithful women paved the way for many others. In fact, most of the important clergy in my life have been women. I was baptized by a woman. The rector of the church that sponsored me for ordination was a woman. I've never lived in a world where women could not be ordained, where women could not be priests. And that didn't just happen on its own. It happened because people blazed the trail. People like the Philadelphia Eleven, faithful saints who paved the way for others, so that we could reap where we did not sow. Much is Likewise, true for LGBT folks. And I don't know if you know this, but I am indeed gay. I know this might be hard to believe because I am such a macho man. I was just out chopping wood before the service to get pumped up for this. But the Barnabas folks are laughing because they know how untrue that is. But this is something that I'm thinking specifically of Bishop Robinson in New Hampshire, who paved the way so that others could reap where they did not labor. This is something that for me, through my whole discernment process, my ordination process, the couple of churches that I've served, has been a total non-issue. And again, that didn't just happen on its own. That happened because other people paved the way, faithful saints that have gone before. We are all beneficiaries of those who have gone before, from Bishop Hawley to the Philadelphia 11, Bishop Robinson, and many others. And here we are, we find ourselves in the home stretch of Lent. And in the scripture lessons on Sundays, we see how our Lord Jesus has turned toward Jerusalem and is heading to that city where he ultimately gives his life willingly for our redemption, where he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He goes before to pave the way to open the path to everlasting life. So tonight we give thanks for Bishop Hawley, for all those who have gone before to open doors for us, and we especially give thanks tonight for the assurance of eternal life, not through our own efforts, but through him who led the way and opened the path for our redemption, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, support us all the day long, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, and the busy world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging, and a holy rest, and peace at the last. Amen. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. Shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake. Amen. Together let us pray the second prayer on page 3. Be present, Spirit of God, within us, your dwelling place and home, that this house may be one where all darkness is penetrated by your light, all troubles calmed by your peace, all evil redeemed by your love, all pain transformed in your suffering, all dying glorified. Peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.